January 7th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 19.
Dirty, filthy cyborg.
Greetings, everybody. Hey, it's the J-Strom, and I'm back here in Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Hey, here to my left, I have the pop culture zealot, Steven. How's it going, Steven? Were you in another state this week, or what?
I sure was. I just got back from Arizona.
Dude, what the hell is with your job, man? They won't let you stay home. Are you a hitman?
Yeah.
All right, just checking out.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Okay, I don't want to know. You know what's crazy, Steven, is we actually have Mulberry Bill back. Hey, how's it going, Bill?
Hey, I'm all right.
Bill is well again.
Bill, I want to apologize right now.
I've been well. I missed last week because nobody picked me up.
Now, okay, wow. Dude, ever since that episode one when the phone rang and Steven did the bad helicopter story, I just don't answer the phone, and I turn it on mute. So I want to apologize for that.
But I called the red phone.
I had my jacket laying on top of it. I couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I'm still pissed off about that.
I'm sorry. Steven, at one point, even said, "Do you hear something?" I went, "Nope." But I swear I didn't hear anything, so... But I got headphones on, so, you know, I don't know.
It is canned.
Well, I think you're just lazy.
I wish I would have answered it, because we could have heard another helicopter
story. The phone
story
was probably across the room, much like the remote controls, yeah. And you just can't get
I never can reach the remote, so, you know, that's what happens. Now, Bill,
I'm not talking to you.
It's going to be an interesting show, then.
I'm going to drink.
Where the hell is my chiffon?
Now, also, we have our newswoman, Vanessa. How's it going, Vanessa?
It's going well.
You know, I haven't asked you in a long time, Vanessa, but after doing our clip show of all of our different bits, I never ask you how it's going on China Street anymore. How's it going on?
Gee, I wonder why we abandoned that.
Yeah, maybe because it was radio death. So you moved from there a long time ago. Where are you living now?
I'm living over on Johnson Street.
Johnson Street.
No. So you changed from a nation street to a name street.
Right.
Yes.
From China
Street. It's on the corner of Peter Street off next to China Street, which is Wang Street. Well, it's Wang, and then I've got Peter, and then I live on Johnson Street.
And then there's everybody Wang Chung Avenue. I got nothing. All right. Now, Bill, you know, we talked about on the last episode what we did for Christmas stuff. Well, what have you been doing for the holidays?
I hung out with some family and sat around and wondered why I'm hanging around with family. And it's just painful. The holidays come around and you think, oh, how happy we get to hang around with family. It's so wonderful. And then you get to hang around with family and you sit there and go, what in the hell am I doing here? You know, it always turns into a disaster. Everyone's got things to say about somebody else.
And then when you
leave,
it
turns into a gossip fest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then when you're finally gone, it's just a
no.
relief.
And then, of course, when you leave, you're like, see you next year.
Yeah. And Rainy. Then for some reason, you actually show up.
Now, did you get anything cool?
Yeah, you know, my dad is always out to get me something different because I always... I'm the hardest person in the family to buy gifts for because anything I want, I buy for myself. I never wait or, you know, I'm an instant gratification kind of guy.
Right.
So my dad is always looking for some wacky present to get me that I'll never have. So he got me this Whirly Bird indoor helicopter.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I thought it was really cool of him. So I would, I'd fly it around and attack the dog with it. The dog really enjoyed that. And I've already through about three or four propellers or rotors on top and one or two of the steering rotors on the back.
Nice.
So it ended up being more expensive to maintain it than it cost for my father to buy it. And the night somebody was supposed to pick me up, I got my Xbox 360.
Oh, see that? Okay, everybody, this is why he's really mad. It's because he had his Xbox with him, and he's stranded. He couldn't get home and hook it up.
First thing, the thing weighs a ton. It's at least, 15 to 20 pounds.
Really?
Like the other Xbox.
Well, not the Xbox itself, but the power brick. This thing is enormous. You need, a whole section off to the side of where you put it for this thing to cool.
Now, has the thing, frozen up yet on you?
No, it's been great. I love it. I signed up on Xbox Live. My name's Mulberry Bill. Mulberry Space Bill.
Sweet.
So if anybody wants to play with me, not play with me, but
against you.
Contact me, Mulberry Bill, and I've played Dead or Alive 4, and what's great about it is that all the games are in high definition with Dolby Digital 5.1 surround sound. Dead or Alive 4 looks absolutely incredible in high definition. Madden 2006 looks incredible. Call of Duty 2 is friggin' mind-blowing.
Hey, on that Dead or Alive game, is that the game where you do karate and stuff?
Dead or Alive 4 is the new fighting game, with the chicks with the boobs that bounce around and all that. But I absolutely love my Xbox 360, and one of the greatest things about it is you can log on to Xbox Live, and they've got this new system where you can buy points and then download things. You can download free trailers to movies.
Thing.
I downloaded the trailer to Mission Impossible 3 in 720p high definition. And it's awesome. And then you can download
Classic.
You've
totally gone to the dark side. You're totally chilling for Bill Gates.
Dude, you can download old arcade games like Gauntlet and Joust.
That's awesome. Hey,
yeah, and play them online.
Sold, Jerry.
I love it. I can't pump it up enough.
Oh, I would love to see. I have Call of Duty 2 for the PS2. I would love to see the side-by-side comparison.
It absolutely blows everything away. You would never imagine it. It's what sold me on the Xbox 360. I went into the store and saw it on one of those high-definition Samsung LCDs, mm-hmm. and I was just like, oh my god. It's just so incredible.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was like a Valley Girl when I saw it. I just had to have it.
Oh, my god. Really?
Totally.
Now, hey, Bill, while you were gone, we've gotten voicemails coming in left and right, and the first one, this happened after the first episode you weren't here, which was, I believe, what was it, episode 16?
Right.
There's episode 16, you were on the clip show, and then there was 18, and now this is 19. So I want you to hear that. This is our old brown coat friend. And
He's back.
Yeah, he's back. And remember what happened with your house. Your historical library was basically overrun with brown coat zombies, and you had no mm-hmm. place to stay.
But it's back. I got it back.
Right. Well, here's the context of this. When this happened, you had no place to stay. Let's check it out.
Hey, Glenn.
Not again.
Okay, hey, hey, Mulberry guys. This is Eugene from last time, and I know
Gene.
You know who I am, but I kind of feel bad because, I'm not doing the right brown coat thing by being mean and tough on you guys. And I heard your story, Mulberry Bill, about how you don't have a place to live because of the brown coat zombies. And on behalf of all the brown coats and myself and Josh Whedon, I apologize profoundly for that. And that's not right. And I just want to offer you a place to stay, Mulberry Bill.
Well,
you can
nice
come
of
over, and we're watching. We're actually having a brown coat viewing of Serenity tonight. The director's cut underground edition with an additional 35 seconds. Basic party, but you can stay over a few nights if you want, and we'll have dip and cheese dip and chips and stuff. So
as long as there's a cheese ball
and
there.
My phone number, Mulberry Bill, and we can work something out. I feel bad about before, so I humbly apologize.
This is really sweet
on behalf
of
the verse. Okay. Goodbye.
Well, he offered you a place to stay. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I'm very thankful for that offer. If I would have actually gotten it instead of you holding it until I'm on the show, maybe I would have.
Now, hey, I got to play offer. It on the show. You got to hear it brand new, all right?
Oh, yeah, of course. But when I'm homeless, it
But you were
matter.
Sleeping on the couch here at the station. You seem comfortable.
Oh, yeah. That couch is only 30 years old. It's really comfortable.
That one spring doesn't bother you
Has
too
Foggy
much,
Has Foggy ever
it?
Given you all your porn back? Or?
You know what? I don't want it back.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, keep it.
Foggy.
Now, here's what happened, Bill, is then our next episode came out, the clip show, and you and I went to your library, and we basically unloaded, killed every single zombie in sight, took back your house, and...
I had no choice.
Yeah, you're living back there, you're all moved in, you know, it may look like the ship Serenity, but are you getting used to that?
Actually, I've been getting used to it. It's really nice. It's got a wonderful metallic, sterile decor. Yeah, it's all right.
Well, Eugene sent us a new voicemail after he heard this episode, and it's a little less friendly, so let's check this out.
Damn it. I just listened to your holiday mishmash up or whatever. What are you saying? That we're all zombies and you should shoot us all? Is that what you're saying? Mulberry Bill? I just offered you a peace offering. I stuck out my hand and I talked to my mom and she agreed that no, you just want to say all these terrible things about brown coats. We're from the verse. We're big damn heroes. You're going to say that about me? You're uninvited. Uninvited, Mulberry Bill. Uninvited. Vanessa, you can come if you want. I don't... But with the canceling of the Brown Coat website and this, I don't know I'm going to make it.
It's too much.
You just don't... Damn you, Mulberry Bill, to hell! And I hope the zombies eat your butt. Damn it, Mulberry Bill. Call me Vanessa.
Wow.
Well, we know where his loyalty lies.
Yeah, in the span of two phone calls, he went, I think he's bipolar or something.
Well, I mean, he lives with his mother, so there's a good chance.
Yeah. Hey, his mom said you could stay there. I mean, it's okay.
She was all right with it at first until you started killing the zombies.
Hey, you got
to
get
your outfit. He needs to learn not to take it so personal. These are zombies. They're not alive. They're not actual brown coats. They're brown coat zombies.
They are the undead, and they feast on human flesh.
Joss Whedon and the powers that be have decided to close the Brown Coats website.
Right.
Very sorry about that.
Joss Whedon.
They're just going to have to find something else to be fanatical about.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica started up, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. I want to tease that. They could jump onto that bandwagon.
Yeah, they can be Capricorns.
Capricorns. that hasn't caught on yet, my old name for BSG fan. But
well, a lot of things haven't caught on yet. This podcast, I think.
Yeah, I want to just tease the rest of our show. We're going to talk about a couple of movies that have come out or are coming out, and are a lot of good shows this week. We're going to talk about, and then we're going to do the news and DVDs this week. So why don't we get to that and do some entertainment? All right, everybody.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may, Bill.
That song is very easy to do the robot to.
You know what? I do the robot every week during that. Just tell him, Steven, don't I?
Every day.
Every day.
Every
it's just
day.
Not that
no, every
it.
Show, not every day.
You play it every day and do it.
Okay.
Energy cell exhausted.
All right, guys. You know, a lot of times on our show, we talk about movies, but... lately, come on, we've been a little lowbrow. We've been talking about mainstream movies, and I figure it's time to give some indie art house like IFC Channel flicks some attention. All right?
It's about time.
Yeah, okay. I mean, enough of this crap. We're going to the Inwood, the Angelica. We're going to go start seeing these art house flicks. The movie that I was talking about, the art house movie, it stars Rob Schneider, David Spade, and Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, Christ.
So let's check it out.
From the sandlots of Topeka, Kansas, to the ivy-covered walls of Wrigley
Field. Love that Napoleon Dynamite.
A game of baseball has always been played with dignity and grace.
Ow! Dang it.
Until now. Meet Richie, Gus, and Clark.
Gus, can't hear us.
They were three guys who never got respect.
Clark the Dork and Richie
Itchy.
Sweet sticks.
Until
is that
they
Craig Kilborn?
Yep. Losers. Get off this field.
He's a big actor now.
For the little guys.
Stop picking on
well, God
kid.
Knows he wasn't a late night host.
So go.
You want the field so bad? We'll play you for it.
But there are nine of us and three of you.
Time to meet your makers.
Makers of what? Poop.
That's right, he is Napoleon Dynamite in the movie.
Right there.
They couldn't catch.
Damn, that sounded painful.
But real strength.
Hey, don't make me come out there.
Come out here, I'll crush you.
Oh.
He said it.
Comes from the heart.
Oh.
Yeah!
With David Spade and Rob Schneider, I can't believe there's so much slapstick in here.
Yeah.
With you three,
a lot of getting kicked in the nuts.
Beat all the mean teams from around the state.
Then kids like Nelson and his buddies will get respect.
Let's teach those little bullies a lesson.
One, two, three, Benchwarmers!
Benchwarmers!
They should call it Fratwallers.
You tools think you're athletes now?
Funny, I didn't know athlete had three syllables. Athlete, that's amazing.
It's Reggie Jackson.
He agreed to come and help us run some drills.
This drill is for hand-eye coordination.
This movie better be like 75 minutes long.
This is for your catch and release skills.
It's 3 hours.
Oh my God, it's like King Kong. Totally self-indulgent.
John Heder. The Benchwarmer.
Oh!
That's my Miata!
My bad!
Kill him!
Oh,
weren't you ready? Ooh, that
looks awful!
Bow to your senses!
That's Academy Awards.
But Napoleon Dynamite, it looks like, I mean, isn't this the beginning of the end of your career when they're like, do that thing you did in that funny movie?
You know what, though? I think that's the only thing John Heder can do.
He acts just like himself.
Yeah, I think that's actually how he is. He's this uptight Mormon guy who
he doesn't have any
funny.
Skills.
I don't even have any good skills.
What do you mean?
You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Exactly. What the? Good old Foggy. He never gets better at his job, does he?
That's the
okay,
lack of
let's forget about those art house flicks. I'm going to go back to mainstream, all right? I can't handle that crap. All right.
That was art house?
Yes.
Okay.
A great movie. It's called Playing Along, Steven.
I know. I was going for the joke.
Now, when nobody goes to see a movie, it's then termed art house. Serenity was an art house film.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, now here's the deal.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Now
I'm
here's
sorry,
a
brown coat people. I
see, that's why it's an art house film. Vanessa yeah. hasn't
I will.
Seen it yet.
I will see it though.
All right, moving on.
I'll get a date to take me.
All right, there's a.
Well,
film.
You don't need to be taken to get a DVD.
All right, moving on for Christ's sake.
I'm gonna get a date here.
Oh, you want a brown coat to take you to go see it? It's not in the theaters.
Yeah.
Listen, where were you? We could have boosted the box office.
Eugene's waiting for you.
Okay. A new film did come out this week, and it looks pretty awesome. It's got Meatloaf in it. It's got...
Oh, it's
got
to be good.
It's got Michael Madsen. I just want you to check this out. It's called Blood Rain, directed by U Bull. Here's a scene. Here's a scene!
So, we meet again.
Vladimir, I've always admired your spirit. It's a shame you must die.
Awesome.
Fool, Vladimir!
You fool, Vladimir! We can't see it, but it sure does sound good.
Was that breaking glass?
Yes.
Yes!
What happens is Michael Madsen smashes the window and the sun melts Meatloaf, so he's a vampire. It looks pretty good. And if you
should never leave Meatloaf out in the sun.
It looks like they made this movie at some kind of like medieval times or something is what it looks like. Hey, just get some costumes. They've already built a castle for us here at this restaurant.
Yeah. They probably
don't mind that it's styrofoam.
No, the movie was unavailable for preview, but what was funny is it's already on the top 100 worst of the year list. So it's like, people didn't see it, but we're going to go ahead and put it on the worst list.
I'm a historian of ass, but is Kristanna Loken not odd looking?
A tad.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
Kiss my ass.
She's beautiful.
I thought she was really hot in T3. I'm sorry.
Again, yeah, you know, there was next to no dialogue there.
Right.
And she couldn't quite act.
Well, she's acting in this because she plays Blood Rain.
You know who they should have had play Blood Rain?
Who?
The guy that played the T-1000, Robert Patrick.
Yeah, they should have.
He should get his chance to ruin whatever she might do.
Exactly. Well, enough with these horrible movies. Let's see what's on your TiVo. Let's do Earl first. All right. Did everyone watch My Name is Earl this week?
Yes.
Great stuff. Now, this episode has to do with when Earl and Randy went to this, like, boys' ranch. The Right Choice Ranch.
The Right Choice Ranch.
And Joy...
They don't do anything inappropriate to young boys.
Yeah, that was what was great is the sign. They had to keep changing it because it just didn't sound right. Like, the first sign they ever had said, Right Choice Ranch. Touching bad boys since 1963. And then they changed it again because that didn't sound right. And it said, bringing boys to their knees since 1963. And then they changed it again. It said, forcing boys to turn around since 1963. And then finally, present days, it says, we don't do anything inappropriate to boys. Because each time it just sounded wrong. Joy wants to put her kids in it because her children act horrible or whatever. A long time ago, Earl and Randy. Earl believes he burned down the barn?
Yeah.
Because Earl was taking up smoking. I love that scene where Randy says, can I have a drag? Or whatever. He goes, you're not old enough, Randy. And he's like, what, like 10 or something?
Yeah, and then he says, you need to be at least 10 to start smoking.
Yeah. Randy is the one who burned down the barn.
Because a chicken was in the barn.
Yeah, oh yeah, he has a massive fear of birds. And he chooses just to lay down when the birds are up. Like the ostrich.
the ostrich.
He's like, what does he say? You punch him in the head, then lay down on the ground or something?
Hello, giant chicken. I'm going to punch you in the head and lay here on the ground.
And he say, call the police. The kids are just looking at him weird. Call the police. Oh, and that was a great scene where he says, me doing something positive, like building the ostrich pen, had all the kids happy and smiling at me, and he's looking over at them, and they're all happy and smiling, but you look over, and there's Katarina, and she's all sweaty and, like, moist and everything.
Yeah.
Like, toweling off.
Her moist.
Oh, Lord.
What was funny is once Earl finds out that Randy burned the ranch down, it's now his fault, and he needs to take Earl's list and do take some things off of it because his karma screwed up. One of the funniest things, and I have a clip of this, is when he makes Randy return some donuts.
Wakey, wakey, hands off, snakey.
What are you doing?
Time to get up. Got to get started on your list. I chose the first one. Took donuts from a bank where I was not a customer.
I have to go now?
Randy, people don't want their donuts in the afternoon.
Oh, sure they would. put gravy on them or meat inside. That smart frog from Return of the Jedi, my bad.
What? What the?
Smart frog from...
Randy, wake up!
So he has to return donuts to the bank that he
Can't
always
I
stole.
Just leave them on the table with the other stuff?
Nope, you gotta tell people what you did and why you're here.
All of them?
All of them. Everybody listen up! Drop the donut! Just drop the donut!
That was great. So basically they think he's robbing the place.
I had some favorite moments in it. Mainly the opening where they were trying to get the rat out of the claw thing that you see in the wars where you can grab stuffed animals. There was a rat in there. But when they were doing the montage of Randy and Earl as kids... doing the things that led to them going to the Right Choice Ranch where they're weed whacking the carpet. And Randy had the leaf blower.
And they put the bucket over their dad's head and just start banging it, and he stands up and like just
But the explanation the explanation of Randy's fear of chickens was hilarious in that he said that I think it was Randy's afraid of the Pope's big hat because he thought a chicken was hiding underneath.
Yeah, that was
that
the reason.
Had me in tears.
It was pretty good stuff. I love Earl. I mean, one episode's not as funny as the next, and all of a sudden it'll be hilarious, and then the next week it's just kind of kind-hearted. Even this one had a kind-hearted ending where Earl wanted to make up not taking his kids to, what was it, Funland or something? I forget what it's called. Some generic name. And the place wasn't there anymore, and they said, what if we just forgive you, Earl? And, you know, it was just one of those sweet moments that it's like, where did this come from on the show all of a sudden?
Retarded!
All right, another show that premiered this week, and I was very excited, was Scrubs is back, and they showed two episodes, Steven, that's right.
Two?
Yeah, now JD is a doctor, he's an attending, as they call it. Do you guys understand any of that doctor stuff? Okay. If you, first you start out as
an intern,
and then you become an attending...
Yeah.
And then you become a what after that?
A resident.
A resident. Yeah. Okay. So JD's an attending, and he's I believe the second episode where he has a bunch of interns that he wants to be funny guy, and he keeps making these horrible jokes, and they're like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And the janitor guy is telling him that they're just kissing your ass, and they show this great sequence, don't they, Bill, where he's showing the chain of events of how everyone kisses each other's ass all the way down to a bum outside.
Yeah, I like that they had the lunch lady tell the bum the joke, and then the bum told the dog the joke, and the dog laughed or barked or whatever.
The dog is the bottom of the ass-kissing chain. And JD's like, I can't believe that dog got that pun. But the show is just, I mean, would you say wacky? Or it's just
well,
a crazy
you know,
show.
With them being... pushed around by NBC so much, I read an article where they said they're just going to go all out and do the craziest stuff they can think of this year, and it really is. The two episodes that we're on were just insane, like more insane than they've ever done. And
like when Turk took JD to the movies within his backpack.
Yeah.
He's like smuggling. He's like going like this, and when he unzips it, you see his face in there, like "Get me out of here!" Like he stuffed him in his backpack. Now, I have a clip of the most recent episode, and let's check it out.
Have you guys been fake laughing at my jokes? Be honest. I promise, absolutely no ramifications.
Well, we've been kind of fake laughing.
Heath, I hope you die a violent death and bugs eat your corpse.
Look, your jokes kind of suck, and when I laugh, you pick me to do procedures.
Unbelievable. From now on, there is absolutely no laughing at my jokes unless they're particularly hysterical. Talk about your Mission Impossibles.
And nobody laughs.
Case closed.
Now, Vanessa, what were you saying? How has NBC been kicking them around?
Yeah.
Basically, they just treat them like crap. They keep moving their time slots, you know.
They actually delayed the premiere of their season by, like, 2 months.
They just show it no respect at all, and they pretty much assume this will be their last season, so they're just
going
to kind of
go
crazy.
Yeah, so they're going... I also like the scene after that where he realized that they were just, you know, kissing his ass, and he made him go up on the roof in his little mind thing, and he's like, face your death, and pushes him off the
top of the building. He's having a dream where he's just... killing all of them.
But yeah, it's really wacky this season. If you like something crazy, give it a try, and because this will probably be its last season.
Yeah, just expect something that's really crazy and silly.
Don't expect a medical drama or a show that's just kind of like a sitcom. This
don't expect
is insanity.
Don't expect high quality caliber drama like ER.
When is it on? This is when is Scrubs on?
Scrubs comes on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Emmy worthy.
I'm the only one. I remember watching ER the very first episode, and if you've worked in a hospital, in a trauma center, hearing stat and constantly just got on my dang nerves and I couldn't watch the show.
That show's been on way too long, okay?
Yeah.
I work in hospitals every day, and I never hear that.
Do you ever hear 50 cc's of citrocetrolene, stat, code blue,
No.
And George Clooney walking by. I guess he's not on the show anymore.
I've been working in hospitals for about 3 years now. I've heard code blue about 5 times.
Maybe. Do you run to help out? What can I do to help? He's like, can I do anything
with this Ethernet cable?
I can plug him into an RJ45 jack.
Okay, let's go on to the next show, and that's The Office. Did anyone check out The Office? It's a funny show, and what was funny, Steve?
I wouldn't go that far.
No, it was funny. Now, here's what's funny is they go on to an office party on a barge. Which, Steven, do you remember we actually did that once?
Oh, good.
We went to an office party, and when I was watching this.
On a booze cruise?
We went on a booze cruise, yes. Was alcohol?
There was no alcohol.
But we were on a boat.
We wish there was alcohol.
Yeah, it was that bad.
But was it boring?
It was horrible. It was a paddle boat on a crappy
little lake. Because you're stuck on a boat with people you wouldn't hang out with outside of work. That's all.
Other than me and Jason, we were sitting side by side.
Here's a clip where Steve Carell, their boss, explains what it means to be on a boat and what it has to do with leadership.
Leader. Ship. The word ship is hidden inside the word leadership as its derivation. So, if this office is, in fact, a ship, as its leader, I am the captain. But we're all in the same boat. Teamwork. Anyone?
How about the sales department is the sales?
Yes, Daryl. The sales department makes sales. Good. Let me just explain. I see the sales department as the furnace.
A furnace?
Yeesh, how old is this ship?
How about the anchor?
What does the furnace do?
All right, let's not get hung up on the furnace. I see the sales department are down there. They're in the engine room, and they are shoveling coal into the furnace, right? I saw the movie Titanic. They were very important in the movie Titanic. Who saw it? Show of hands.
Not really sure what movie you're talking about. I'm sure you got the title right.
Titanic?
I think you're thinking of Hyperred October.
No, I'm Leo DiCaprio. Come on.
Michael, everyone in the engine room drowned.
No. Thank you, spoiler alert. You saw the movie, those of you who did. They're happy down there in the furnace room. And they're dirty and grimy and sweaty. And they're singing their ethnic songs. And actually, that might be warehouse. Saying is leadership. We'll talk more about that on the boat ship.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Now, Bill, you said it wasn't that great. What did you not like about the episode?
You know what's funny? It's uncomfortable to watch because I've been in those situations before. I guess it's just so realistic at times that you can't laugh. You just sit there and just drop your head because it's like you're back there again.
What I love about Steve Carell's character is that no one kisses his ass except Dwight, so he has these horrible... They all give him a hard time like that, like Titanic. What movie? It's like, you know, the boat
movie.
Sure
you get the title right?
Hunt for Red October? No! And it's like they just won't let him just say what he's trying to say. And when they get to the boat, he makes such a jackass out of himself. And it's so great.
Always a jackass.
I love when he stands up, and there's other people on the boat, just not their group, and he's like... All right, here's, you know, he wants to give an analogy to the...
After trying to do it all night long. Yeah,
an analogy to the business. He goes, the ship is sinking, everybody. And people are like, what? He goes, the ship will be underwater in 10 minutes. People are like, oh, my God. And they're like getting up like this.
Everybody but the people that work in that office are jumping off the boat.
Because they know what a jackass he is. And You see a guy open the window and he jumps overboard. The next thing you know, you see him, he's like, what is it? He's
handcuffed.
Yeah.
He's got those zip ties around
his zip tied around the wrist. He goes, thrown in the brig. And what's great is Dwight, the guy, the captain said, how would you like to steer the boat? And there's like a fake wheel at the front. He goes, don't worry, Michael, I'm steering us to safety. And he's like, it's a fake wheel, dummy. The guy's so clueless.
That was the best line of the entire show. Because there is that guy, that Dwight, in
the
every
ass
office,
kisser
that ass-kissing dick that everyone hates.
And everyone, he
was and you know what sucks about it? That's the person that always gets the promotion.
Exactly, yes.
They are the ones that are always on top, and they're the ones that always drive the company into the ground.
Exactly.
They're the ones that couldn't do no wrong. We had a girl like that who kissed everybody's ass. She screwed up royally, and somehow we were always responsible for her screw-ups.
Exactly. Right. That's why.
It's
that's
just
why
like the ass-kissing chain. There's also the
show
chain.
Is funny, but it's so realistic, it's uncomfortable.
Now
that's why I don't like it. That's why I can't watch it.
Here's a show that's not uncomfortable, and that's Four Kings, everybody! Did anyone check out Four Kings with that goddamn Seth Green?
I am going to kill you for making me watch it.
What are you talking about? Did I advertise that the show would be good on the last episode?
The moment it started, I knew I was in trouble. They're using one of the worst Counting Crows songs ever released as its theme song.
The show isn't as bad as I thought, but I'll say this. It's formulaic, contrived, predictable, and not funny. But, you know, I've seen worse, like, you know, Jim J. Bullock on Too Close for Comfort or something.
You know
like
what
that.
Is the worst thing about these type of shows? The writing is bad, and it's bad because it's unreal conversations. They always come across forced. It's like you don't sit there and ramble back and forth with your friends setting people up for jokes. It's just like nobody thinks like that. Nobody talks like that. Nobody wants to watch a show where people talk like that.
To give an idea of what people think, let's play a clip to Four Kings on NBC, Must See Thursdays.
Look at all this food. Whoever planned this funeral must have been baked. It was an 80-year-old woman named Betty Plotnick.
Cool. Betty's a burner.
Hey, why don't you eat a piece of that strudel? I mean, you obviously want it. Why don't you just eat it?
I don't want the strudel.
Why were you staring at it like you want to take it to prom and slip it a roofie?
Barry, what was my nickname during elementary school?
Fat Jason.
And what was my nickname at camp?
Jace Tun.
And junior high?
Carney Wilson.
See why I might have some issues about food? Miss Plotnick, I think you did a beautiful job.
Oh, call me Betty, dear. You don't think I ordered too much?
Well, you know, no, it is a lot of food.
I know. Sometimes my judgment is a little off. It's these marijuana pills I take. For my glaucoma.
Please make it stop.
Well, that
Please.
Would explain why you were giggling through the funeral.
Wow.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I got to give you props on the crickets for that clip.
That was all foggy, baby. All foggy.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You listen to that clip, no one talks like that. No one.
That canned laughter was all in the wrong spot.
I took my marijuana pills. Oh, yeah.
The only redeeming friggin' quality of this entire show was the one guy's girlfriend had great tits.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be an ass.
Let me just say, did you not notice it, Jason? Did you not notice the cleavage?
I'm a historian of ass.
I
admit it.
Don't think I did. I might have been eating dinner and looking down.
You're gay.
I don't remember, man. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Yes or no?
Now, guys, let's move on from this high quality TV, this high caliber, to incredible caliber, and that's Battlestar Galactica. what happened on the last season is at the very end, Adama and Commander Kane of the Pegasus are going head-to-head battle. They're going to kill each other and stuff.
The frigid militant lesbian.
Now, what happened is Tyrell and Hilo, they were saving the Boomer. They were saving the Cylon Boomer from being raped, and they accidentally killed the guy. They didn't do it on purpose.
They were actually saving the Black Boomer from the 70s from being raped.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't think we would, them switching actors out, we'd notice. We noticed, all right? You switched actors on us. Now, I have a clip of the first part of the show, and let's check out what happens when Starbucks shows up right in the middle of their battle. You know, they're flying around, kind of hot-dogging each
space
other.
Chicken.
Yeah, they're playing space chicken, exactly.
That wacky Starbucks.
A single bogey, and it's nearly on top of us.
Identify.
No transponders, no recognition codes. It has to be a Cylon Raider, sir.
Cylon!
I don't know, sir. It's got to be a Raider.
Well, how the fuck did it get in so close without being detected?
Fracking, frackety frack. I love how they do the radios just like Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
The Vipers.
The,
bring the ship about.
Cockpit chatter.
Yeah.
And prepare to engage the enemy.
Someone get me some Viper.
Good lord.
It better be Starbucks.
All right, you stop.
Nice to see that Steven got that vibe, too.
I don't think she's interested in any of that.
Oh, you know it.
Exactly. Let's just be friendly.
And that's all Admiral Kane wants to do with Starbucks.
And basically what happens is she took the stealth fighter and she filmed this ship.
Mysterious ship.
So anyway, it's the resurrection ship, and that's when a Cylon dies. They all their information reboots into a new model. They're so far from the Cylon's
homeworld.
Caprica, all the planets they took over, I guess. That they have to do this portable ship where all the bodies are ready. And that's a cool zoom in they do, and you can see six models in there. And so they decide that they need to
stuff that little cork in a plot hole there. Okay.
What?
I'm just saying that, you know, the whole resurrection ship, Cylons not being able to reclone or whatever because they're so far from their home
world. Well, I think they brought up this issue,
you know,
they brought up this issue the first season, whereas the male Cylon, you know, she's like, maybe you're too far from your model. If we kill you, you just die, you know. And
yeah,
that
he was afraid.
Afraid.
Okay, I don't think I caught that.
So now they're answering that they have a ship nearby that's how they'll you know, multiply or whatever. I don't know.
But all I saw were the hot blonde models.
Yeah, don't feed them after midnight.
Yeah.
So basically, they're going to go to war and all that, and they plan this big, huge battle that's going to happen, and Starbuck is put in charge by Commander
Kane,
played by Michelle Forbes.
Admiral
Kane, I'm sorry. I made the same mistake that Gaius made in the last episode. Gaius Baltar. And he's becoming much more friendly with Gina. Isn't that her name? The six model?
Mm-hmm. Gina?
Yeah, Gina. So he just went some 40-year-old virgin. Is your name Gina? No, that's Gina.
What's up?
Exactly. So basically, here's what happens at the end of the ship.
After the attack is completed, and you've accounted for your pilots, I want you to land your bird on the Pegasus to report directly to CIC.
Adama's always whispering.
You'll take Lee with you.
Sneaky bastard.
You'll watch your back.
Posted just outside CIC.
Now, there'll be the normal chaos and emotional high after the attack.
They'll be slapping each other on the back, celebrating the victory.
That'll keep their guard down.
Security will be live.
I will ask for you. The wireless.
I will call you directly, and when I have you on the line and you hear me give the command to execute Case Orange.
When you hear me say downfall,
you are to signal the Marines to terminate Adama's command. Start it with Adama.
Harmon and shoot Admiral Kane in the head.
I love how she says terminate him. The choice of words she uses, she kind of makes it cold and sterile and, you know, just that's her order. And he says, pull out your gun, shoot her in the head.
Yeah, but she says terminate his entire command,
everybody.
The ship.
Right.
That's the whole point of her. She's a freaking psycho.
Duala.
Well, yeah, you found
Ty.
That out whenever they left the people on these
right,
civilian
that, that's
ships.
Another thing that happened when he when Ty is talking to their what do they call
XO.
Them? The XO, yeah. And he's talking about what happened to some of the people is they had a fleet with them too of civilians. She strip mined everything they needed from their fleet.
And you kind of feel that she'll do that again to this one.
Right.
She takes...
took everyone who could do was worth a damn for her ship and left all the families and even said there were some people who wouldn't go willingly, so we had to kill their families.
That conversation alone shows that her XO won't follow the orders.
Right. But you know what? That scene right there,
yeah, especially...
I was like, this is why I watched this show. This is how damn good this show is. How
it's incredibly directed and constructed. The editing is terrific on it.
It's just,
If you haven't seen it, go buy the first season. Go buy the...
With the miniseries. You gotta
go buy the miniseries.
Exactly.
Well, I think the new first season set has the miniseries on it.
Right.
Yes, it does.
So, guys, each week we're going to talk about every new episode. Next week we're going to talk about episode 12 of season 2.5. Awesome.
Will the militant lesbian go down?
Yeah, they even say that at the end, the tagline of sci-fi. See if the lesbian lives on sci-fi. Oh, man. Speaking of sci-fi, though, what is this?
Paved in? Yeah, I knew you were going to bring it up. Paul Meany fights things underground.
First of all, it says starring Christopher Atkins. The dude hasn't been in a movie since The Blue Lagoon, man.
And
they're fighting over dinner.
It looks like Flash animation, like the bugs and stuff. There's a scene where a guy lights a cigarette or something, and you see a beetle like... It looks like...
What movie?
It's called Cave-In on sci-fi, and it's on Saturday tonight.
So, be sure
and set your TiVos, baby.
I'm sorry, but I can't watch those movies anymore. After having to sit through Pterodactyl...
Sabretooth?
Yeah. What else? Alien Apocalypse?
Oh, but Bruce Campbell.
I'm sorry. We've been through this
but
before.
But his whole life sucks. That's right, it sucks.
Bruce Campbell doesn't exactly do the best films anymore.
It is. It's funny because... of him.
No, what it makes me...
No, we're not laughing with him, we're laughing at him.
He made a movie for like $100,000. They did that at some guy's farmland, I think.
In somebody's backyard with their family.
We'll just leave it at that. Vanessa, you ready to do some news? All right, Vanessa, what do you got for us this week in Nowhere in Mulberry?
All right, in Sydney, Australia, a 21-year-old woman died Saturday after a shark attack off eastern Australia.
Uh-oh.
The shark mauled the woman, whose identity was not released, while she was swimming Saturday afternoon near North Stradbroke Island, east of the Queensland state capital of Brisbane. The woman was airlifted to a hospital where she had both arms amputated just below the elbow. And she also had flesh wounds to her legs and torso. The woman died of her injuries while in the hospital, according to the Queensland State Police, said the woman had been scuba diving in the waist-deep water at the time of the attack.
It was only waist-deep?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that usually when most attacks happen?
It seems like it.
Correctamundo!
I even saw a thing on on some TV show. There's that horrible show on, what do you call it, Spike? That where they show, oh, real TV. Mm-hmm. We'll show some guy fishing and get his legs bitten off by a shark. Coming up next. And it was something like that, where he was like waist deep and the shark came up and like grabbed him and pulled him under.
Yeah, that's when crocs get you too, I think.
Yeah, but that's not in the ocean, though. Crocodiles in the ocean, is it?
Mm-hmm. Sure, there are. Water.
What happens, you flush the crocodiles into the toilet, and they come out into the ocean, and they turn gigantic because of toxic waste.
I can't say I'm really surprised by the story. Down there during the summer months, especially around Australia, because they all hang around those reefs, like around Western Australia and Perth, where all the surfers go. It's a really bad area around there, and the east coast around Queensland is really bad. So that's just what you get whenever you're swimming in those waters down there. You have to be really careful.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again: the best way to not be attacked by a shark is punch it in the nose. You don't get bit that way, so I don't know why these people can't do that. Just because they're waist deep, they can't look down.
Stick your fingers in its gills.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do the Laura Croft thing and punch a shark in the face.
Yeah, what you do is you punch a shark in the face, then flip around and ride on it, and it'll take you around.
Yeah, on its fin.
And it'll take you to the surface if you need to get
air. If you cover
its
eyes, you can run it right into a rock.
Yeah. I can't see. Boink. Yeah, exactly. Vanessa, next story.
A Vancouver woman pleaded guilty on Thursday to poisoning several trees that border the city's park to improve the view of the ocean from her condominium. June Matheson admitted she purchased herbicide in the United States and applied it to 5 trees in the spring of 2004 in an effort to kill them. Of course, 3 of them later died. A witness told police that Matheson, a well-known interior designer, had complained that the city-owned trees, which range in height between 25 and 45 feet tall, had grown way too tall, and she wanted to get rid of them.
Good Lord. So, that's a good idea, actually.
Prosecutor said Matheson may have felt an improved view of nearby English Bay would increase the value of her condo, which she sold in October 2004 for nearly $1.7 million Canadian, or $1.5 million U.S. dollars, and called her action selfish in the extreme.
Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy trees in front of the house. So.
Not if your view was the ocean, though.
It exactly.
Could have been.
Who planted those trees there? It's their fault.
Yeah, now that Vanessa said that she actually sold the condo, she was obviously doing it to gain property value.
What she shouldn't have done is told people about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who investigated the fact that this woman killed 3 trees?
You yourself!
You tree killer, you're going to jail!
Can you go to jail for that?
Well, yeah, they're government property, so it's just like destroying anything that's
probably government. Get fined and...
She got fined, yeah, $50,000 Canadian dollars and had to plant trees to replace them.
See? John Denver did make her plant a tree.
All right.
Oh my Does that suck?
Our favorite girl guy, Michael Jackson, is being sued for unpaid bills by the veterinarian who tends to the pop star's exotic animals at the Neverland Ranch.
Hi, bitch.
Jackson has been living in the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom of Bahrain, but the lawsuit was filed in the Santa Maria, California, where he stood trial last year. Martin Deans, owner of Deans Memorial...
Dean Martin, I love that guy. I thought he was dead, though.
...alleges that Jackson owes $91,602 in veterinary bills. Deans helped the singer acquire animals for his zoo, including flamingos, giraffes, elephants, orangutans, and Michael
Jackson. What the hell is wrong with
this
guy?
And young boys.
Yeah. Deans filed this lawsuit with great reluctance because he has a lot of admiration for Michael. So the hearing is set for May 2nd, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, good luck. Like Michael Jackson has any money.
Yeah, it's pretty much gone.
Spent it on little boys.
Good Lord, man.
All right, and our favorite hoochie. Teen actress Lindsay Lohan, who was
I'm not even going to ask what a hoochie is again.
I can't believe you never heard that.
I've heard it. I've just never heard anyone actually use it in this decade.
Yeah, you heard a lot.
Now, what is it? Lindsay Lohan is what?
Teen actress Lindsay Lohan, hospitalized in Miami this week, suffering from asthma, said dabbling in drugs and battling bulimia pushed her close to emotional and physical collapse. Duh.
Man,
I knew
sucks.
I had a problem, and I couldn't admit it.
Mulberry Bill!
How does somebody actually battle bulimia? I'm sorry, you're doing it on purpose. You ain't battling shit.
What you do? You pull out a sword.
What? Am I battling being fat?
Yes, yes, and yes.
I think it's not literally.
What a colossal ripoff!
No way.
It's making an excuse for a weak-minded person.
They use the wrong word. It's not battling. It is
struggling.
Exactly.
That would be horrible if we lost Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, I know.
Not being used to my abilities. Ability.
Lohan said she used drugs a little, but quickly tried to retract the admission and to deny that she had ever taken cocaine.
That's a weight loss drug, isn't it? Cocaine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cocaine. She used a little in as one line at a time.
My cousin's a cokehead.
In an apparent U-turn from interviews last year, the actress admitted fighting the eating disorder bulimia, which made her lose weight at an alarming rate. It was when she saw footage of herself on Saturday Night Live television appearance looking skeletal.
Why did she have to see it on TV? Look in a mirror!
I know.
Because I can't see it that way.
Right.
Because the camera ends 10 pounds, and if you don't see the 10 pounds...
yeah. Hey, where's the 10 pounds? You have those special cameras.
Yeah, right.
Well, her physical condition led to a 2-week hospitalization with a swollen liver and kidney infection last year.
She's killing herself. That's all there is to it. She was so hot and Mean Girls, and she's killing herself. She's totally bedraggled.
I was bedraggled.
All right, and our favorite girl with the cleavage the size of Michael Moore's ass, Tori Spelling, month after splitting from her first husband, the former 90210 star.
Wait. Cleavage the size of Michael Moore's ass?
Do women's breasts qualify as cleavage when it's fake?
Sure. Actually, a lot of times that's what women get boob implants for, is to give themselves like that push-up cleavage thing.
It
doesn't qualify because it's so... It looks like they got basketballs in her chest.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I agree. NBA. All right, go ahead, Vanessa.
All right, well, a month after splitting from her husband, the former 90210 star, Tori Spelling, is engaged to her new boyfriend, actor Dean McDermott.
Isn't it sad she was on 90210 and it's still in her credits because that was like 15 years ago when the show ended?
Well, what has she done since?
I'm very hurt.
A couple really awful independent movies?
Exactly. What has she done since?
All right, go ahead, Vanessa. Sorry about that.
All right, Dean McDermott, 39, proposed to Spelling, 32, on Saturday evening after a moonlit ride in a horse-drawn carriage and a Christmas.
Is she getting married again?
Yes, that's what this is about. Okay, court papers reveal that Spelling's first spouse, actor-writer Charlie Shanian, had filed for divorce just 15 months after they were married in a lavish ceremony at the Beverly Hills home of her father, Aaron Spelling. Well, McDermott separated earlier this year from his wife of more than 10 years, Canadian TV personality Mary Jo Ustach, I don't know how you say her name, Ustace.
Mary Jo Paterno.
So they both just basically went through a divorce.
No, it's that other Joe. Mary Jo, the one who was on Bosom Buddies, who died recently.
Curly Joe!
Mary Jo Sperber?
That's Wendy Jo. Wendy Jo Sperber, sorry about that.
She also appeared in films such as Scary Movie 2 and Troop Beverly Hills.
Troop Beverly Hills, gold, Jerry.
Troop Beverly Hills was the best Shelley song.
Yeah, it was.
Boy wizard Harry Potter has already cast his spell on millions worldwide. But new research show his magic has a hitherto unimagined effect.
A what?
A hitherto
unimagined effect.
He has been shown to protect accident-prone children. Researchers at Joe Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford studied attendance records for children aged 7 to 15 years at the hospital's emergency department over summer weekends between 2003 and 2005. They found that the number nearly halved on the two weekends in June 2003 and July 2005 when Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince were published. We observed a significant fall in the numbers of attendees to emergency department on the weekends that these two most recent Harry Potter books were released.
What the hell is going on?
Well, they call it distraction therapy. It keeps kids from doing stuff to get themselves hurt.
Distraction therapy? I've done that all my life! I'm a master at it!
That's all I got.
All right. Thanks, Vanessa. All right, everybody. It's time for Bill, Mulberry Bill, to do this week's DVDs. All right, Bill, what you got for us?
I got jazz hands. Okay. I'm not even going to ask what that was supposed to mean. Okay, DVDs for January 10th, 2006. We have an independent film that was in and out of the independent theaters with Jamie Bell called The Chum Scrubber.
Ah, yes, The Chum Scrubber.
Yeah, the The synopsis on the back of it says, Dean Stiffel, played by Jamie Bell, discovers the body of his best friend Troy and doesn't bother telling any of the parents in his postcard-perfect California neighborhood. He knows that these families prefer to go about their lives by ignoring reality entirely. But when the scandal hits home, they will take notice or they will continue along their merry, self-medicated way. So, I actually wanted to see this because it looked really good and looked like it had a really good cast in it. It's got Glenn Close, Ralph Fiennes, Rita Wilson, and Jamie Bell playing the lead character.
HBO. I'm going to wait.
No, you know, the trailer looked really good.
No, it does. I remember reading a big thing about it saying, like, hey, this looks pretty interesting. It
had a very Donnie Darko feel to the trailer, so I think I'm probably going to Netflix it.
Right.
Is that a verb now?
Yes.
Netflix it.
Yeah, I think it's actually in the dictionary.
Well, that's great, okay. Larry.
It's definitely in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Steven?
I think my anything favorite. Can be in Wikipedia if people put it there.
Exactly.
You like that?
Okay, Vanessa, here's one for you. Just try to hold your enthusiasm. The Constant Gardener, starring Ralph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz.
Ralph Fiennes.
Vanessa, is that on your radar? Sorry, that was horrible.
Sorry, struggling.
Constant Gardener's kind of a...
it's about a guy who won't stop gardening! Stop it! No, I'm sorry. It's a tension breaker. I had to do it.
Yeah. It's about... It's kind of a suspense thriller political really thingy.
It's gotten good reviews.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'll probably Netflix it.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Next DVD...
I give it 2 Wilhelm screams.
Next DVD...
I asked for 2, Foggy! Thank you.
Or was that just 1 and 1?
Yeah.
As opposed to 2?
Exactly.
All right. Next DVD is Hustle and Flow. This is a movie that got a lot of good talk during the its release from all kinds of critics.
Right. Ebert and that homosexual
and
guy
Reaver.
Loved it.
Yeah, supposedly it's pretty good, but I haven't seen it. I might Netflix it. I'm not really... the whole story
Man,
is
that's cold.
Ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like a pimp who wants to become a record producer or something. So, you know...
It looks
Netflix
good.
Netflix it, baby.
You know what? I am going to go out and buy that as soon as the show's over.
All right. Another movie. This is a classic. A classic remake of a wonderful Japanese
this
film.
This is so exciting.
And it truly is. After you watch this movie, you may just be bedraggled. It's The Magnificent Seven.
Ooh.
Yeah. Coming out in it a collector's edition. You know, directed by John Sturges, great film, remake of The Seven Samurai. There's not, you know, there's so much, this movie's just so great. You know, it's got Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, Eli Wallach, Charles Bronson, James Coburn.
No, you know what, Magnificent Seven rocks the house down.
Rocks the house down.
That's right, sir.
Okay, next DVD, a terrific series. Finally, on its seventh season or series, Red Dwarf, probably one of the funniest British series to come out next to Spaced.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, these are the original and extended episodes, not the chopped up PBS ones. So if you're a fan, really give these a look.
Now, did they chop it up quite a bit?
For PBS, they cut it down.
Steven, you're a Red Dwarf expert, I know one.
I've got them all so far.
Yeah, same here. So, but yeah, PBS cut them down to fit the time slot. So yeah, if you're a Red Dwarf fan, you're going to want Series 7 if you have them all already. If you don't get them.
They keep showing the same last season with the chick or whatever, and they're in jail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was like the worst one, wasn't it?
That's season 8.
One of the
8.
Writers left.
Yeah, that's the when they're aboard Red Dwarf.
Right.
Yeah, that was the last one.
When the nanites rebuild Red Dwarf.
Yeah, and the whole crew.
And the whole crew.
Now, speaking of that, wasn't there going to be a Red Dwarf movie?
Yeah, whatever
happened
to that?
It's in the making.
What happened?
I get updates. I'm part of the Red Dwarf crew.
Struggling.
I think they're still working on it.
I got they're still working on it.
Okay. It was like, it started like 3 years ago.
Was it like Dr. Zhivago or something? Bridge on the River Kwai?
I don't know. I wonder if they're like, you know, they make it on the weekends or something. Yeah,
they must.
Yeah, they have day jobs.
Next DVD.
It's almost 9 o'clock. We've got to go to work.
This DVD is, this is a cable one.
That's fantastic.
A movie that I didn't quite understand why Wes Craven made it, or the or the trailers. The trailers were so misleading that it was just like, what exactly is this movie supposed to be?
I think it's some demon guy or something.
But it is Red Eye with Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy.
Scarecrow.
Red Eye. Right. With TV, or what is it, Hollywood's hottest property, Rachel McAdams. What was Rachel McAdams doing this weekend at Spago's or some crap?
I saw her at the Ivy having lunch.
I saw her throwing up her lunch afterwards. So
with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
That's wheels
off. She was snorting coke with Lindsay.
Supposedly, she's like the big Hollywood girl because she doesn't take shit from anyone and she doesn't do drugs.
Wow,
good
that
for
is
her.
Hollywood.
But you know what I say, give it a year.
So, okay, basically she was in this Wes Craven movie called Red Eye, and the trailer, if you first see the trailer, it looks like, you know, she has a romance with this guy, Cillian.
Yeah, it looks like
Cillian
a romantic
Murphy.
Comedy.
Yeah, and they kind of meet, and all of a sudden he like holds her hand tight, and his eyes turn red, and you're like, oh my god, he's the son of Satan on this flight. But no, then another trailer comes out, and it turns out it's like Die Hard or something.
He's the first one you thought it was going to turn into the Omen 4.
Yeah, but it's instead, it turns out it's like a terrorist thing. It's, you know, they're holding her father hostage and she has to do some crap or they'll kill him.
The old Wesley Snipes movie. What was that? The
Always Bet on Black. Yeah, Passenger 57.
Passenger 57.
That's a great thing.
Next DVD, this one's for Vanessa specifically.
Ray Fiennes.
Watch out for snakes.
Don't be jumping to conclusions. We've already had two Ray Fiennes movies. There's going to be a third.
Are we going to go for the hat trick?
The Transporter Dose.
Slow down. Jason Statham.
Any good?
It's ridiculous. It's so over the top with the action set pieces.
It's just a cartoon, right? Basically.
Yeah, it's like one of those movies that you need to sit down and just completely shut off your mind.
That doesn't make sense.
Of his form.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Okay, last DVD, a terrific film. A film that will put some to sleep, and a film that some people really enjoy. The Wild
Skip
Bunch.
To the end.
Ah, The Wild Bunch.
This is a two-disc special edition. The original Wild Bunch came out when, like in 98, right after DVDs hit. And it's a flipper, and it's awful quality. And finally, we get a two-disc special edition, a remastered film. This is Sam Peckinpah's Bullets, Guns, Coming All Over the Screen masterpiece.
This is one of the finest movies ever made. I'll say that right now. This movie makes me tear up. It's beautiful.
Sam Peckinpah just had an orgy of craziness with
Sam
this
Peckinpah stuff. Loves shotguns. I'll just say that.
Oh, he does. I think the best thing I've ever...
All right, Foggy Christ!
I think my ears are bleeding.
I think Foggy likes shotguns, too. Now, what is different on this than the previous release?
Well, the first release was just a, you know, rushed out flipper whenever DVDs first came out. This one's got, you know, it's a digitally remastered. It's got a commentary from Peckinpah biographers.
Huh? Oh, okay. I was like, how did they manage that?
Yeah. They called up Jeffrey Combs, and he reanimated him.
Awesome.
But anyway, you know... Got a lot of really great specials on it, and this is just, you know, this is a classic.
That's not right.
It is. You know what, in fact?
Westerns, ensemble casts.
There's no Christmas anymore. My birthday's far away, but somebody buys for me anyway. Because I'm a cheap bastard.
Call me sir, goddammit.
And if you love film, this is a movie that if you don't love, then it's like a travesty.
The final scene, the big climactic scene where they're battling the Mexican army, is that just the most beautiful shootout in the history of mankind?
It's just so incredibly well constructed. It's like I said, it's like an orgasm on screen.
Peckinpah was a genius. But, you know, if you're going to watch Peckinpah films, don't go, hey, I'm going to go check out the Osterman Weekend first. No, don't!
No.
Don't watch the Osterman Weekend. That's when he was dying, okay?
Check out dead inside.
The Wild Bunch, and then get the new release of Major Dundee after that. It's, have yourself a little Peckinpah fest. Shut up, Snoopy!
Snoopy Dog.
I love Snoopy.
But that's it. That's all the DVDs for January 10th, 2006.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. And may I say this, good to have you back telling us about DVDs, because last week we had no idea what was coming out. I want to thank Steven, I want to thank Bill and Vanessa for being with me, the J-Strom, or Jason Statham, for being here on Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 19. That's right, guys, we've wasted 19 weekends in a row. Yes! It's a record,
yeah,
baby! And I just want to say that if you like this show, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you can check out our forum, which is located on a little link there on the right. Or you could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, I'd love to hear a voicemail from someone other than Eugene. What about you guys?
Even Eugene again. We'll welcome
him. Yeah, we welcome Eugene. Go to 1-206-202-3491 and join our Frapper map so we know where you live so Foggy can show up and spend the night. That sounds pretty good
and
to me.
And he will.
And he will. And he'll steal your porn.
Yeah, don't let him near the porn.
And he'll try to give it back when he's done. Don't do it.
Don't accept it.
Knock the door to your children's room.
It's in cellophane for a reason.
Whoa there, Pickle.
Hey, guys, before we go, I just want to tell everyone to go to the podcast, Pickle. We have a link there on our site at nowheremulberry.com. It's there on the right. It says vote for us on the Pickle. Click that. And just sign up. All you got to do is add your email, make up some kind of wacky handle like King Vitamin or King Medicine. I'm sorry, Bill.
You're thinking prick. Of the cereal.
Okay. You know what? That was a cereal.
King Medicine. That's why I thought of it. King Medicine, something like that. And what
you did, not in on the joke. King Medicine was my old handle when I was in my hat.
See, only longtime listeners like Zebertina from Norway would get that joke. So shout out to you, Zebertina, right, everybody?
That's right.
Yay.
Now, once you go to the podcast, Pickle, on the top left, you'll see a thing, right, Steven? That says favorite. You say a lot of blinking things. It's like you're in a pinball machine and you want to get out. Get me out of here.
You have to log in first.
Yeah, you got to log in, select favorites. You click over there on the right and it says profile. And you go down, it says J-Strom's fans for Nowhere in Mulberry. And you see all the people have signed up. We want to get to number one. So we need over 60 votes, you guys. So, you know, get your friends and family, people who don't even know what a podcast is, just make them do it. Pull a gun on them, go do it, and they're like, "Why?" And it's just like, "Just do it, I'll kill you."
Sign
I'll you
up
the kidney.
Or else.
Exactly.
Yeah, and all the listeners that are in hiding there, we track the show. We know we have over 100 listeners. We do something for you guys every week. Do something for us.
We entertain our hearts out for you. Oh God. And I'm out of gas. Thank you. Thank you.
Snoopy Dogg.
Now this is podcasting.